Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, we're your hosts. I got Mark King, Sean Coleman. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. We got several topics we're going to talk about on today's show. But before we get started, we must remind you that today's title sponsor is RockAuto.com. They are a great sponsor of this show. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Go visit RockAuto.com. But on today's show, we're going to talk about this graphic floating around of trading Jonas Valanciunas. We're going to talk about the news that kind of came out, I think, today about the Daily Memphis Report had a story in the about the Grizzlies lease. We'll come up. We'll talk about what I'll explain to you why that's not going to happen, about the Grizzlies being able to have a force majeure clause in their lease. And then the third segment of the show, we're going to talk about something Sean wants to talk about. What are we talking about in the third segment, man?
We're going to talk about where do the Grizzlies go from here over the next year? What makes the most sense for them as far as this rebuild continues?
Sounds good. Let's get started. So let's talk about this Jonas Valanciunas thing. I saw this graphic flow. I think I saw it on like Facebook. I don't know where I saw it, but it was, first of all, I think it's completely fake. I don't think it's because the graphic was like the Warriors are talking about trading for Jonas Valanciunas. So let's just start off with the fact that it's not real. Like the Warriors are not talking about trading for Jonas Valanciunas. I can say that for pretty high confidence after I've texted somebody about it. That does the Warriors stuff. So let's say that first and foremost. But however, let's entertain the idea. And I think you could correct me if I'm wrong, Sean, but the idea was a lottery pick or their lottery pick this year for Jonas Valanciunas. Was it straight up? I can't remember if it was straight up or if that was the deal or not.
It was a package. It was a package deal. Basically, I think the wording was, the Warriors are entertaining trading their lottery pick, their first rounder this year, for a package including Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah, I mean, let's just take the idea that since all we really know of this fake thing is that it would be like Jonas Valanciunas and a lottery pick revolve around. Let's just pretend, and let's just for the sake of argument, that it's going to be a straight up deal. If the Warriors are going to decide to give you a lottery pick for Jonas Valanciunas. And I'll give you my opinion. I'll let Sean give him his too. But I would do that before the Warriors could change their mind. I know everybody loves Jonas Valanciunas in this city, and he's great. I enjoy Jonas. I love talking to him. He's a fantastic guy. But and here's why I say why I would take it immediately, without question, just say yes. And it's because of where the Grizzlies are at. I mean, honestly, Jonas Valanciunas is on the older side of his career, but he's on the back end of his career. The Grizzlies are a young team that are building for the future. The only reason they're going to, this is not a season they even planned on making the playoffs, and quite frankly, still might not. And next season, they may not make the playoffs either. Jonas Valanciunas is a guy that is increasingly becoming more and more obsolete. I mean, they used to run a lot of offense for him last year, but it clamored for the idea of Jonas Valanciunas getting up so many shots and all the things he was doing on offense. And I told everybody, and listen to the show, I told you guys, that's not going to be who Jonas Valanciunas is this year. I promise you, that is not who he is. That is not what is going to happen. And what happened? He went down a lot. His shots were nowhere near where they needed to be. And his rebounding was huge. And that's one big thing the Grizzlies needed. But on the same side of that, if you're rebuilding, I mean, you could be without rebounding. You can make it work. You can lose games. It doesn't really matter. You go and get a lottery pick that could potentially have another guy, another young good player that you could just throw a dart at. Now, lottery picks are always going to be great, but it's another guy you could throw a lottery pick at, throw a dart at, and if it works, it's another person on your core that has a great contract for years to come. Honestly, if you had something like that and had the money of Jonas Valanciunas off your books and the money of a young player contract on your books, the Grizzlies would have quite the cap room next summer or this free agency to go out and actually throw big contracts at people to complete their rotation, to complete their shooting, the woes that you would need to make up for rebounding or shooting or whatever it is that you feel like the Grizzlies would need. They would have the opportunity to go out and throw big money at people to fit around their core. And you could give them 2-year contracts. So would it mess you up with Jaren Jackson Jr.? Would it mess you up with John Morant or anything like that? And then you could actually have the potential to go out and make the playoffs and maybe do some damage. What do you, what's your thought on this, man?
Well, and the thing about it is I agree with you completely. I in no way, shape, or form, I don't think any team is going to sit here and try to turn a lottery pick into Jonas Valanciunas. Yeah. I do think that there is some things that have to be considered. I'm completely on board with you. Jonas Valanciunas' skill set, you know, we talk about it, you know, we talked about it before, what is his true value? I'm going to tell you straightforward. I think Jonas Valanciunas, in terms of his production, in terms of the type of player that he is not far off from being the exact type of player that Zach Randolph is. They're better in their own ways. But the reason why Jonas is not considered on the level of Zach Randolph is because Jonas is probably a decade overdue. He's a decade past basically when the NBA really valued his skill set. My point of saying that is this, is Jonas Valanciunas is a valuable asset. He is a good basketball player who fits the needs of the Grizzlies. He is a post present on both sides of the ball, and the Grizzlies needed that, especially with Jaren Jackson Jr. still developing his rebounding game. Thing about it is also is that Jonas Valanciunas has value in the locker room. There is this young core wanted him here. The Grizzlies wanted him here. The trade that brought him here kind of introduced him to the idea that offense does matter. And even though his role may be limited, he still provides plenty of opportunities and he can be dominant for what he does. But the other side of the coin is this, is that at the end of the day, it's very likely that Jonas brings back the most value from his contract as a trade piece. When you look at it, when you look around the NBA, a lot of the best teams in the NBA, I don't think the Grizzlies are ever going to get a star-level player. I don't think Ja or Jaren ever reached a star level of like a Kawhi or Giannis or somebody like that. But a lot of these teams around the NBA, they've got where they've got by making trades. The Grizzlies got where they got by making trades. I think they made 10 in the past calendar year, and that's the reason why they were able to exceed expectations so well. But these veterans that are on the team, the Kyle Andersons, the Dylan Brooks, the Jonas Valanciunases, the Gorgui Dangs, yes, they are important to this team to maintain, you know, being competitive. But you also don't sit here and focus on the present. You don't focus, put everything into potentially being a borderline playoff team next year. And that's why I think you don't sit here and look to trade these guys, but you remain open to it. You know, whether it's this year, but, you know, other people that I've talked with, you know, they mentioned that it could be, you know, next year when he's an expiring contract. That makes sense. But at the end of the day, the fact doesn't change that this Grizzlies front office is very creative. Yes, they, you know, value the locker room. They value the team chemistry. But they also have shown that they can be ahead of the curve. And a way that you keep building a roster is by taking present assets and turning them into future assets in a rebuild. And I think that for our front office, especially with the summer of 2021 coming up, cap space, assets such as picks, all those things are going to be more valuable to keep accelerating our path to contention than keeping these guys that they've signed to contracts like Jonas, like Kyle Anderson, like Gorgui Dang. So, you know, in time, I think that, you know, the Grizzlies are going to keep Jonas, but I definitely think the Grizzlies are doing the best possible outcomes are if the Grizzlies keep an open mind and as creative as they've shown they can be. And if an opportunity comes, I think that Jonas definitely is on the table if the deal makes sense.
I think there was one thing you said in there is what is Jonas's true value? But I've always said this about Jonas Valanciunas, and if you're a listener of this show for a long time, you know it to be true, is that Jonas Valanciunas has a skill set in this league that is easily replaceable. Like, let's be really true, like honest with ourselves. He's a great rebounder and a good inside. Like, he can scoop the ball up and dunk it. Like, those are what he's good at. He's not a three-point shooter. He's not a perimeter threat. He's terrible on defense. He's not, you know, that's not who he is. So if you're trying to go and replace Jonas Valanciunas and what he does for the Grizzlies, it's not that hard. It really isn't that hard to find someone that you can fit, you know, slot in his spot and do exactly what he does. Most of his points this year have become because of Ja Morant or Jaren Jackson Jr. is getting doubled. Like, and he's done a lot for this team. And I'm not trying to diminish what he's done this year, but what I'm saying is if you wanted to try to replace Jonas Valanciunas and what he does for this team, it wouldn't be that difficult.
I agree with you. And the quick point that I'll make is this. On the court, yes. And I do think that you could also get his, not necessarily his production, but I do think that you could get the role that you desire for him to play in a cheaper source. But another big thing, Jonas has an aspect to him that isn't defined by numbers. And I know you know this, but I think it needs to be mentioned. He has an aspect here. He's the enforcer on this team. For lack of a better word, he's the big brother. You saw it in New York when they got into the scuffle with one of the Morris twins. Jonas was right there. You saw it with Harry Giles this year. Jonas was right there. Jonas brings an edge, just like Dylan does when he, you know, had the comments about Iggy. That's important. They help bring an edge, an attitude to this team. And I think you have to have that, especially as a young team. That type of stuff does play a part in you being able to win the games you're supposed to win and also being able to pull some upsets. They, you know, teams know that they're not going to be able to push you around. And Jonas is certainly not someone that you want to push it around. So that's the whole thing about it, is that, you know, while it, you know, in the right situation, it certainly makes sense. I don't, like you said, don't want to diminish Jonas's role on this team. He is here for a reason. The Grizzlies kept him around for a reason. He compliments Jaren well, both on and off the court, as well as Ja. So I think that there's nothing wrong with keeping him. But again, when you look at the different outcomes that you can have with a first rounder, either this year or next year, even if this year is not that good of a draft. But if you look at the options that you can have on the table with the first rounder versus the options that you could have with Jonas, I really do think that, again, Jonas's best value for this team is an eventual trade piece.
I think we're both on the same page, and unfortunately it's fake and it's not real, so the Warriors are not doing that. But it always leads for good conversations and discussions, something that we are lacking right now with basketball not even happening right now. So I think it's definitely fun to talk about for sure. Let's take a quick break, but before we get there, Locked On Podcast Network, guys, I want to make sure we continue the conversation about Black Lives Matter and the social injustices that are happening in our country. That's why the hosts are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of all host aid donations up to $10,000. So make your own donation along with us. Go to lockedonpodcast.com/Black Lives Matter. And guys, it's our amazing sponsors that make this podcast possible. So make sure you go check those guys out when you have a chance. I want to talk to you about rockauto.com. They are a parts store online that was absolutely amazing. You don't have to sit around and wait for the guy to go look in the back of the store to see if they have a look about the computer. Might even not even know what he's doing. You have access to rockauto.com at home and also in your pocket with your desktop computer or your smartphones. The main reason to repair and maintain your cars, just save money. It's super easy to do with enough YouTube. I promise you can figure out how to do anything. And with rockauto.com, they make their prices super affordable and super accessible to everybody, not just people who are in the auto industry. So go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that you sent us. Their amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It's rockauto.com. Welcome back to the show, talking Grizzlies basketball again today. There was something that came out in the paper. Daily Memphian have a story on it, and it's about the lease. And I want to talk about it. We don't have to spend a lot of time on this, but I do want to talk about it because I don't think a lot of people understand it, because I think a lot of people probably didn't read the story. If you didn't read the story, you can read it. It's a good story. It's by Jeff Calkins. It explains it quite well. And so if you just saw the headline, which was the headline was something like, you know, the Grizzlies have a clause in their contract or the lease with the city that allows them to move the team if a particular amount of seats or a capacity is not met. And I think the capacity was like 15,900 or whatever it was. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. But that's the gist of it. And first of all, I want to say this very clearly, that this is not happening. Like, if you just read the headline and did the story, you kind of freaked out. But I promise you, it's not something that's going to happen. The Grizzlies are not going anywhere. The Grizzlies and the city are both working to figure out a way to keep the team here. So the basic of it is, it's a clause in the lease that happened a long time ago that was put in there. It basically says if you don't sell out all the boxes or 2,500 club seats or have attendance of 15,900, whatever the number is, any of those things individually, it doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be all of them. It can be any of those things, individually. The city has to make up for those money. It has to be, you know, they'll have to either pay for season tickets or pay for tickets to those games or pay for those boxes, whatever it is. The Grizzlies, the city has a chance to make that up monetarily to the Grizzlies, or if they decline to, the Grizzlies can move the team to a different city. So that's basically the gist of the clause. However, you know, that's, it happened. It was after the 15th year in the city, and this is the 16th year, I believe, for the Grizzlies. So it's not something that, you know, this can be every year. Like, I don't want to make that clear as well. Like, this can be every single year. So every single year this just doesn't happen, this clause could come up. But the city and the Grizzlies are also making sure that they work toward a solution, an amicable solution that keeps the Tiger, or the, not the Tigers, keeps the Grizzlies here for quite some time. So I would say don't freak out, but it is something to note for the Grizzlies and the city, but they're not going anywhere anytime soon. They're not, it's not happening. But it is something to note in terms of, you know, what the city and the Grizzlies kind of have to do for each other to kind of work together to make sure that that doesn't happen.
And the thing that I'll say is this, is to also remember, now I don't have as much knowledge on this as others like Mark and things such as that, but the thing that I'll add to it is that, you know, there's a reason why the Grizzlies grit and grind era, you know, I wrote about it a few times, you know, while the on the court atmosphere was kind of counterculture to what the NBA was, the one thing that makes it so amicable was the relationship between the Grizzlies and the fans. And that's one thing to remember. I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, that's going to be able to overcome any type of, you know, financial obstacles that come in place. Like Mark said, this is probably going to continue to happen. You know, with Robert Parra out west, there always is, you know, that scenario where if it's something that he desires and he wants to pursue it, that could happen. But the reason I bring all this up is to say there's a lot of things that have to occur for that even to become the smallest of realities. And with how much Memphis has shown that the Grizzlies mean to them, the organization wants that. The city wants that. And I also think with Robert Parra, I believe that he's, you know, a few years away from owning the team for a decade. I also think that if he was really that interested in making this happen, there already would have been an effort, or there would have been more of an effort on his end. So it just, you know, like Mark said, I think that there's a lot of things that what always has to be there in this type of situation to really keep them here is the energy to keep them. And that's never going away. So the passion that the city has, the knowledge that they have of how important the Grizzlies are, I think that that's a big boost to make sure that if things like this come up, to remind yourself, you know, hey, the Grizzlies, the organization and the city will usually work this out to where it's no real threat at all.
Yeah, and the, you know, the fear with the owners, the fear with most people is that, you know, you can't have a winning team in a small market. You can't have a championship team in a small market. And that's just, it's just not true. Not in today's age. Not in the modern NBA. You saw just, you know, the Spurs have won championships. San Antonio is not a big town at all. I don't know why people think that it is, but San Antonio is not a great big town at all. So, you know, and I think you had a good point in terms of, well, what Robert Parra has on his hands with Ja and Jaren and what this team has been built into just in the past, you know, year and a half. It's got quite the potential and quite the future to become a legitimate contender, depending on how Ja's development goes, depending on how Taylor's development goes as a coach. I mean, there are obviously a lot of variables when you go try to win an NBA championship, but I think the Grizzlies do have a really, really solid chance to become a contender over the next few years. And so, you know, like if you're Robert Parra and your team's out there, you know, playing for Western Conference Finals, who cares where you're at? You know, I mean, the only difference for him is TV households, which is obviously a thing for owners and what they make. But, you know, most billionaires own sports franchises because it's fun. It's not really to make money. So that's all I'll say on that. I think you're right. It makes a good point too, but there's nothing to freak out here. Nothing's happening. Nothing's going to happen anytime soon. It would take a lot for things to change over the course of this, you know, the next few years. But let's take another quick break. We'll be right back. We'll talk about in our last segment what the Grizzlies have to do.
Let's be honest. If you're going through your daily routine, there probably are times more than others in which you just like to sit back and enjoy a podcast or a good book or a good workout. Well, why not enjoy that with a healthy snack? And that's what you can do with Built Bar. Built Bar is the rare combination as far as a protein bar that doesn't have to trade taste for health or health for taste. You get both things, and you get a wide variety of flavors to choose from, whether it's in your morning routine, before or after your daily workout, or in the afternoon just chilling out. Enjoy it with your favorite Locked On podcast episode. The thing about it is that Built Bar is awesome, not only because of its variety, but because of how easy it is to access it. And the thing is that right now you can go to BuiltBar.com and you can get $10 off your first order. But BuiltBar.com/NBA and get $10 off your first order. Thing I can say with confidence, it won't be your last. You can also go to BuiltBar.com and look at some different flavors that you can add to your water. So you've got versatility, great taste, a healthy addition to your day. Again, go to BuiltBar.com/NBA and put in the promo code Locked On, and you'll be able to get $10 off your first order.
Welcome back to the show. Let's wrap this show up, our last segment. Why don't you take us through it, Sean, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, so you were kind of you hit on the point about talking in regards to the small market opportunity with the Grizzlies. And the thing that I'll say is that when you look at the NBA right now, the small markets are thriving in terms of producing contenders. And it all comes down to leadership. It comes down to the front offices. I mean, think about it. Milwaukee, Utah, Portland, Indiana, Oklahoma City, you know, to name others. All those places are right now contenders. And what's the reason why? They've been able to draft a true superstar-level talent. Utah with Donovan Mitchell, Milwaukee with Giannis, Oklahoma City, you know, when they had Russ and Kevin. But because of that, they now are one of the most loaded teams in terms of assets. Portland's got Dame. The main point that I was bringing up was that the one thing before 2 years ago that always seemed to separate Memphis from that was drafting, was the inability to be able to land draft picks besides Mike Conley. And I've done, you know, a little bit of writing on that here recently. And the thing about it is, though, is that when Memphis has hit on draft picks, they have been able to really build themselves up. They did it when they drafted, or they did it even back in Vancouver when they got Sharif Abdur-Rahim. They did it in 2001 when they got Pau Gasol. They did it in 2007 when they got Mike Conley. They got a piece that really was able to be there to lead them through the successful parts of their in the history of the franchise. Well, now, I'm not saying we're on the level of those other teams, but we certainly have the core forming because of good drafts. Just think about it. Dylan Brooks, Jaren Jackson Jr., John Morant, and Brandon Clark. We have drafted a legitimate part of a core that's considered one of the brightest in the NBA. So with all that being said, I kind of come to the conclusion, you know, just in discussions with different people and just looking, you know, kind of at the Grizzlies over the next year, in my opinion, when it comes to the Grizzlies, their most beneficial route to continuing to build a contender is to make the playoffs this year and miss them next year. Now, before that frustrates anyone, let me explain. My whole point is that I've thought for a while that making the playoffs this year was more important than making it next year. And here's the reason why. It's all about what you're guaranteeing yourself from the season. If you make the playoffs this year, what that guarantees is that you are gaining a lottery pick and a more beneficial draft in 2021 than 2020. Next year, you go into the season. Because of all the success the Grizzlies have had this year, coming off last summer, the Grizzlies are entering a situation that any rebuilding team wishes they could enter. Not all do. As a matter of fact, most don't. But the Grizzlies are. They are entering a season in which they really have nothing to lose. Now, the thing about it is this, is that the Grizzlies make the playoffs this year. If they don't make it next year, it's on the surface going to seem like a step back. But it's really not. Because outside factors, schedule, other teams dealing with health problems, has allowed for the Grizzlies to be in the position that they're in now. Their awesome play has too, but those outside factors have played a part. Next season, you've got Golden State, in my opinion, Sacramento. You've got New Orleans. You've got Portland. All these teams are going to get critical players back. And on paper, just to be honest, they're further on the development track. They're going to be in a position to make the playoffs. The Grizzlies could do it. but it's going to be a harder road, in my opinion. And in all honesty, I think that they're going to be on the outside looking in, you know, preseason projections and things such as that. But say the Grizzlies win 35 to 40 games next year. That actually is maintaining the course that we've had. We're probably going to develop as our team does. But even if we, you know, go win 40 to 45 games, that still doesn't guarantee the playoffs. But that is not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, it could be even more beneficial. Because then you look at the 2021 draft. If the Grizzlies make the playoffs next year, you know, they go in the first round, all that different stuff. Yes, it's great. They get playoff experience. But in terms of building the team, they also are only going to be able to go up to, I think, pick 14. If they were to miss the playoffs next year, it would be frustrating. You know, people may consider it a step back, but it's actually not. What they do is that in 2021, they now have the pick because they made the playoffs in 2020. But in 2021, they missed the playoffs. They now are back in the lottery. And we've seen what luck can do for us in the lottery. And the Grizzlies are in the position to gain another strong, good, young, controllable talent that's cheap for the foreseeable future to pair with Jaw and Jaren. Not only do they gain the potential to pick a player, but that's another pick that they could use to potentially move for an established talent, move up in the draft, things such as that. So that's my whole point about making it the playoffs this year and missing it next year. I think that is the most beneficial route. But regardless, you don't tank to make that happen. You don't trade away players to make that happen. It's just you recognize that no matter what outcome the Grizzlies experience next year, they are going to benefit from it. If they make the playoffs, which they should certainly play for, that is great. Two playoffs in a row is amazing. It's a great thing to build off of. But if they don't make the playoffs, you sit here and you give our front office a stronger arsenal of assets that they can use to continue building for the future. And I think that that's definitely a great outcome for this team. Because again, if you can pair another young player or get more ammunition to go get a strong, strong talent to put with Jaw, Jaren, and Brandon Clark, I just think that that's a wonderful outcome. So that's the point that I wanted to bring up, is that we are now in a position where if we make the playoffs this year, regardless of the outcome next year, we continue to benefit even if we don't meet expectations next year that some may have for us.
I think you're mostly right in terms of what the pros are for the team if the Grizzlies miss the playoffs next year. I think what you're probably not accounting for, or maybe you are, and maybe just didn't bring it up. Maybe you are, I don't know. But and something that I don't think anybody accounted for was John Morant. I don't think anybody accounted for John Morant this year and what he was able to do in terms of how quickly he was able to get calibrated to the NBA. And so, you know, you take players like himself, you know, De'Anthony Melton, Josh Jackson, who knows if Justin Winslow comes, you know, all these guys that are on a path that it seems like is better than we really had anticipated even this year. Because you think back to this year, I mean, hell, I had them 21 in 21 games, which was way off. But I think Vegas had them at 26 games for the season. So, I mean, I think personally, I would love that. I love more assets to continue to build and go even further, because I think right now it's a good team, not a great team. You know, just depends on how people develop into, maybe they develop into great players and it becomes a great team. But I do think there are some fundamental flaws with this team that I don't think can win them a championship just yet. And so if you can address that through the draft, obviously that's much better than having to go spend assets to get assets if you just get them because of the way your guys play. So I think it's a great idea. I would love it. But I think that I think that people can't account for how damn good John Morant is and how quickly he's able to adapt to the NBA along with any of the other players that are developing just to make this team good. And because they're not just going to lose games, obviously. Nobody, no player is going to do that. So that's just something I've heard a lot of people say this, that the Grizzlies are going to miss the playoffs next year and be great for them. I mean, you're not the first one. And again, I think it's a great idea. I just think that, I think that we can't account for some of the unknowns like the player development.
Well, and you're exactly right. And that's the whole of me mentioning this. It's I can see where people would think that with the thought process that I'm saying that I prefer this, that that's not my goal in mentioning this as an outcome. My whole point is this, is that you obviously want Ja to Morant. You want Ja to take a next step like Trae Young did in Atlanta this year and be an all-star next year. If Ja takes that step, he leads us to the playoffs. Obviously, that is a tremendous outcome. I'm just saying that even if that happens, and even if, you know, all this occurs, but if the Grizzlies don't make the playoffs, I'm just pointing out that in terms of their rebuild, them not making the playoffs may be considered a step back, when in actuality, it could be a step forward in terms of their ability to continue to access to acquire talent. That's the big point that I'm getting at. You do everything possible you can to win. You have to establish that mentality. That's the most important thing about becoming a contender, is your players learning at as young an age as possible, not only how to win, but to maintain composure and keep winning. And so you do that, you develop Ja, you develop Jaren. The goal next year is to sit here and be in a position to where we could pull a first-round upset. But my whole point that I'm getting to is that that's what the success from this year, that's the ripple effect into next year, is that no matter the outcome, you can easily see it and you can easily make sense of it as being beneficial. And that's what's so wonderful about this rebuild and the fact that we finally have had some success drafting, you know, a core of players, is that it set us up to where we have nothing to lose. And in a lot of situations, we have a lot to gain. You know, hopefully we'll continue to play good, but even if things outside of our control don't come in our favor, there's still a lot in our favor because of our recent history and how well we've done at getting assets so far.
I think you're right. I mean, like I said, I think that's it's definitely something that the Grizzlies will hopefully be, they would benefit from for sure. So we'll see how it plays out. I think it's you know, we got to get through this year. Hopefully, you know, hopefully the Grizzlies play a season this year. As I, you know, we talked about on the last show, I'm becoming increasingly more pessimistic in terms of what they will actually do. The more players have tested positive, luckily I have enough time to hopefully quarantine and recover. So we'll see as they get closer to Orlando and closer to the start date in terms of more testing. So hopefully that goes okay. That's it for the show today, guys. I hope you guys, make sure you guys go subscribe, whatever podcast platform you're using, so you don't miss any of our episodes. Make sure you just, if you're Spotify, Stitcher, it doesn't matter. Just go subscribe. Go leave a review on the show. We'd really appreciate it. It really helps the show out. We'll see you next time.